And then we beat the hell out of them. Or we leave them with a daycare center to take care of. And don't anybody feel bad. When I'm telling you, we're living in a society that's not making us whole, it's wrecking us. Well, if you and I are going to evangelize a society, we got to change. We must change. Somebody pitches dog do in Thelma's yard. Thelma should bake them cookies. You do good to people that hate you. It's hard for us to break that down to our lives and the way we're living. We have to do it. Now, somebody like to share with me how you're getting even with somebody right now? And I'll tell you what else. I'll tell you something else you can do. And it'll be just as easy to do as what you're doing, and it'll produce a better result. Anybody got anything like that they'd like to share? Share it with me. Okay. Somebody has said something to one of us that has hurt us, and for 2 months we don't talk to each other. When somebody says something to hurt you and you got the mind of Christ, what are we going to do? Well, but don't just say love. We'll get into that later. Love. You know, some people think slapping is loving. You ever had your mama beat you over and tan your bottom and say, it hurts me more than it does you? I'm doing this because I love you. Huh? You know, some people, if you were raised in a home where the father abused the mother, do you know you grew up thinking that daddy slapping mama around meant he loved her? You can't just say you love them when you and your sisters had a fight. If you got the mind of Christ, what do? You do something good for them. That's right. Bake her a box of cookies. Why is that? Why is that such a non-thought? If we were having a secular class here and we were discussing some of the ways you could have got even with your sister, I'd have got 25 of them right quick. Well, you could do this, you could do that, you could do that. I wouldn't speak for her. That would have been one of the things. I wouldn't speak to her for a couple of months. If you couldn't stand to see her, you could write her a letter and tell her how horrible she is. Or you could call her up, or you could send the kids over to tell them, Mama still hates you, you know. But why don't we think of, my sister's mad at me, I'm going to bake her some cookies. And some of us will say, well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. You want me to tell you how you do it, Marion? I'm going to tell you how you do it. You're right, sweetie. You got it. You turn the oven on 350. You stir up the batter. You go clunk, 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 clunk. You shove it in the oven. You take it out, you put it in a tin, and you walk it over to her house, and you hand it to her. That's the way you do it. And I don't want y'all telling me you can't do that. It takes the same energy to do that as it does to bake the son that's going off to college cookies. Don't tell me you can't do that. You can. We don't want to do it, or it's not even an option in our life. We don't think about it. I want us to begin to think of something different. And you want me to tell you what I know is that if Marion will do that, she'll no longer be angry at her sister. I one time got interested in emotions, and I went to the library and spent a half a day there going to get a quick education on emotions because I had to talk to somebody about it, and I didn't, you know, what's an emotion? But anyway, here's something I read that I never forgot because I recognized it being truth in my life. A guy named William James makes a statement like this. He says, contrary, he wrote about 30 years ago, I think, 30 or 40. and he was contrary to what everybody else was saying. And today, most writers are agreeing with him, most psychologists. And he said, most people believe that when somebody slaps you, you become angry, and therefore you slap them back. He said, I don't believe that. I believe that when someone slaps you, you slap them back, and therefore you become angry. That sounds really stupid, doesn't it? Do you know what? When I read those words, I knew there was truth to them because I had had people do bad things to me. I'd do good things to them, and I didn't even remember it. And I also knew that when people did bad things to me and I got even with them, it hung on and it hung on and it hung on and it stayed in my mind. I went to bed at night and I thought about them. I wake up in the morning and I'd think about them. But do you know what I'll promise you? You let somebody do something bad to you and you do something good to them, and I'm going to tell you, you won't walk around carrying it in you. That's the message of Jesus. If you'll love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, you'll walk around, your heart will be free. If you will make that your foundation, the rock that you build all of your things on that you do, and you reach all your logical conclusions from that, you will do things in your life that will never let you get a hard heart. It has nothing to do with gaining God's favor. I want to tell you, folks, God loves you just the way you are. That is his message. That is the only message of Jesus. No other message from Jesus. God loves you. What do you think love your enemies all about? God loves his enemies. How about this? You have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist evil. How about let's transfer that on to God? Does God resist evil? He doesn't. He presents the truth and presents the truth, and evil can kill the truth. That's what that's all about. That's truth nailed to the tree. But God has the last word. See? I had somebody in one class get really upset with me for saying this, and y'all, please don't anybody here get upset with this. Ahead of time, I'm going to ask you, don't. You know what God wants you to do with the people down at the abortion clinic? Love them. Marion, he wants you to love them. I know what they're doing is wrong. What if God only loved you and I when we got it right? You know, we want that wonderful mercy and grace, but we don't want to give it to anybody else, do we? There's people sitting in these classes, folks, that have aborted babies. You want to stand up and curse them? They just need forgiving. God forgives them. What are you doing holding it against them? Is there any chance for those people to change? Did I read you the little thing out of this book about changing? Oh, yeah, I can find the changing one. I know right where it's at. I'll read you the other one, too. I'll find it. I was a neurotic for years. I was anxious and depressed and selfish. Everyone kept telling me to change. I resented them, and I agreed with them. And I wanted to change, but I simply couldn't, no matter how hard I tried. Has anybody in here experienced that? For instance, I know when I tell somebody, when the next door neighbor tosses the dog in the yard, you can bake them cookies, and they say, I can't. I know exactly what they're saying, and I know why they can't. I know why they can't do it. You listen to this story, and you'll know why they can't do it. I resented them, and I agreed with them, and I wanted to change, but simply couldn't, no matter how hard I tried. What hurt the most was, like the others, my best friend kept insisting that I change. So I felt powerless and trapped. Then one day he said to me, "Don't change. I love you just as you are. Don't change. I love you just as you are." Those words were music to my ears. Don't change. Don't change. I love you just as you are. I relaxed, I came alive, and suddenly I changed. Now I know that I couldn't really change until I found someone who would love me whether I changed or not. Is that how you love me, God? Y'all hear that? Is that how you love me, God? And when a person says, "I cannot do good to somebody that's done something bad to me," you know what they're saying to me? "I don't really believe God loves me." You think there's conditions on God loving you. And when you think there's conditions on God loving you, how do you love others? Conditionally. If I knew how to do it, folks, if I knew how to get every person in here to understand that, George, God loves you and He knows everything you ever did. There are no secrets from Him. He sees them. And you could really understand that, my God, He loves me. He doesn't care what I've done. He took my burdens away. He paid the price for all the things I did wrong, and He loves me just the way I am. You know what then? You could love your enemy, and you could do good to those that hate you. You could pray for those that persecute you, and you could bless those that curse you. The hard thing to do is to get people to believe that God loves them just as they are. Hard thing to do. Isn't it hard to accept that? We can't ever change, though we can. God loves me just the way I am.
That is why you have to accept God's love first in order to be able to do what He does.
Okay. What is it to accept God's love, though? What do you...
I mean, the grace.
I understand. You're right. But how do you do it? Do you say it?
No.
Do you?
Heart.
Okay. But let me. Okay. In our heart. How do we get it in our heart? See, I want to challenge us to do something. My experience was that I could say I believe that. But I never really believed it until I did some things. Now, I may be wrong. You can challenge me on this. But let me tell you a little formula I listened to one time. I hear and I forget. I see and I remember. I do and I understand. Now, I want you to think of what I'm saying. Think of it like this. Epifania, you've never seen a bicycle. And I bring one into the room and I say, "Now, Epifania, this is a fun machine. You see, it's got two wheels, and you throw your leg over that bar and you start pushing those pedals and it'll go." And Epifania would say, "It'll fall over." You know, she'd say, "Something like that doesn't stand up. It falls over." You know, she's heard. You know, I've told her now. That's all you do is you throw your leg over, you push the pedals.
and it'll balance and go. She said, well, it can. I can't understand that. It falls over. It doesn't work. But I could throw my leg over it, pedal it around the block, and she'd say, my God, it does work. I see somebody else doing it. And then all I got to do is convince her to throw her leg over the seat, step up on the pedals, and then she understands how it works. And do you know what? 30 years from now, she can still do it. But if you've never done it, you'll never understand it. Love your enemy. Throw your leg over the bar and ride the bike. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those that persecute you. I believe that it is in blindly accepting those words and doing them that you'll know how God loves you. When somebody steals your precious cross and you let them have it, you'll know exactly how God has treated you. You will know how God loves you. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. It's not doing it and God will love me. You're supposed to do it and you'll know how God loves you. God loves you whether you do it or not. But if you do it, you'll understand God's love. Your mind will be changed. Most of us right now, most everybody walks into this world believing that if they get good enough, God will love them.
It sounds like your whole message is trying to tell me that as long as I know what God wants of me and do it, the grace will follow.
Well, how about the grace is there?
The grace has been there all the time.
Yeah. Most of us, and I don't know why we do this, and I know you can't get this on the tape, Lenny. Most of us act as though God's a big eye in the sky with a bucket of grace. I initiate something, you know, and he dumps his grace on me. That's crazy. I don't know, and we did something in the church that taught people that. Our church teaches this isn't so. This is the way our church teaches it. This is God. This is man. This is grace. It's there. Grace is there. This whole idea, folks, that you're going to pray up some grace, forget it. When that man died on the cross, God's grace was poured out on this earth. You got the grace. I'm going to show you grace. With the cookies? I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you what grace is. Most of us don't understand what grace is. Okay. Your neighbor throws the dog stuff over in your yard. And you turn the oven on 350. Stir the batch of cookies. Tick, 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 tick. Stick them in the oven. Put them in the tin and take them to them. And it's grace. It is unmerited favor. It's not favor they deserve. It's favor they don't deserve. It's grace. Don't you all know that's what grace is? That's what grace is. That's the way God has done you. When you didn't deserve it, he baked you a batch of cookies. I hate to refer to dying for us, a batch of cookies, but some of that's the best dying me and you can do is a batch of cookies when somebody doesn't deserve it. Did we deserve that? He died for us when we didn't deserve it. the neighbor has treated you bad. They don't deserve to be treated good, and you treat them good. You are God's grace in the world. Peter says you must be generous distributors of God's manifold grace. When you love your enemy, that's grace. When you lend to somebody that'll never pay you back, that's grace. If you lend to somebody that pays you back, no grace. And when you're good to the neighbor that's good to you, no grace. Grace is a bucket up here with things. I'm the initiator, and God will dump grace on me. That makes me God. God's the initiator, and he's constantly saying, will any of you live by grace? It's there. You have the ability. You can go jump off a 30-story building. That's a lot of willpower, isn't it? Well, you could certainly bake a batch of cookies for somebody treating you bad. Grace.
The problem is that I have to unlearn so many things. That
I know that's the problem. I know that's the problem. I'm 10 years I've been doing this, and I'm unlearning things. Grace, when your sister's bad to you, grace is you're good in the face of bad. That's grace. Unmerited favor. Somebody steals your car. When you ask for it back, is that grace? No grace. You ask for it back. No grace. You let them have it. Grace. That's unmerited favor. That's treating other people the way you want to be treated. When you stole something, did you want them to lock you up or let you go? They want you. Well, then you let others go when they steal from you. Doing to others as you'd have them doing to you. Why can't? This is such a simple message. I'm going to read you the grace scripture and we'll leave. I do not have any idea, folks, why no Bible that I know of translates this word grace in Luke 6, 32, 33, and 34. My Bible says credit, and in the Greek the word is charis, which is grace. A lot of Bibles translate it favor, thanks, but it's grace. Do to others what you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what grace is that? See, when you love somebody that loves you, there isn't any grace involved. That's what the world does. If you do good to those who do good to you, how can you claim any grace? Sinners do as much. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what grace is there in it? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to get the same amount back. Folks, it's when you love your enemy that you're living as though you are saved by grace. When you do good to those that hate you, you're living as though you are saved by grace. When you bless those that curse you, you're living as though you are saved by grace. And when you make a person pay, when you hate your enemy, you're saying, I'm going to earn my salvation. I'm earning mine, you earn yours. You throw the dog do over in my yard, I get even with you. I'm earning my good, you earn your good. I can look at a person and tell whether they've been saved by grace. Somebody robs you of $100, you let them have it. You've been saved by grace. I mean willingly. I don't mean sitting around hunting it. I know who took that. Boy, if I could prove it, I'd get them. I don't mean that. I mean, I know who took it, and I'm going to go to them and say, do you need any money? I didn't say I was going to call them a thief, did I? You need any money?
Yes.
How much?
A lot. $100.
$100? I don't have $100. Anybody here got $100? She needs $100. You know what, Epiphania? Got a lot of liars in this room. You know, say, nobody say, yeah, I got $100. Anybody here got $100? Uh-oh, one stuck their hand up. Oh, another stuck their hand. Do you know what? It wouldn't surprise me a bit if there's $15,000 sitting in this classroom in cash. In cash. Well, I want to tell you what. It wouldn't surprise me.
America.
You know, but maybe not that much, but maybe. There's a lot of husbands and wives here. You know, five or six. 10,000. You know that? In cash. Brother, you just don't know. You don't understand. Did it shock you? And I could say, this sister needs $100. And she don't need it more than she needs up. I know her. She's the one who's got all the money. I'll tell you what I know, E.P. Fanya. You got $100 in your pocketbook.
Yeah.
I know you do, honey. Maybe five. Don't answer. I'm not asking for an answer. Sure do love you, folks.